We're having open and honest conversations about mental health and well-being. We should talk about it. With Myra Ansari on Wave Now.
Everybody, thanks so much for joining me here on Wave Now, here for We Should Talk About It. I'm Myra Ansari with Dr. Stephen Taylor from U of L Health Peace Hospital. All right, today is Monday, so we made it to the beginning of the work week, but tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow is Election Day, and I know that this is something so many of you are probably very passionate about. You may have concerns about it, and today we're not getting into who's right, who's wrong, but we are getting into how elections, politics, can impact our mental health, because this is something that is very important. We know that our country is very divided right now, Dr. Taylor, and folks are very concerned about how things are going to turn out tomorrow.
Right.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
You know, as you were introducing the topic, I was thinking about, you know, the ambivalence that I think we hold as a nation, that we have elections like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And what's the one thing we say you never talk about at Thanksgiving?
Don't talk about politics or religion.
That's right. Yeah, but those are two things. And we wedge Thanksgiving right between elections and Christmas. So it's like wedged between politics and religion. And then we say don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have a lot of ambivalence about politics. On the one hand, I think it's a very personal thing that we all hold. It's a way we sort of shape our own identity. I think that's one of the things that makes political discussions very difficult, because we're not just talking about which side's right, which side's wrong. We're not just talking about who's the better candidate. We're talking about ourselves. We're talking about I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. And so I think that's part of what we're dealing with in this topic.
And this is hard because, as we were talking about this, Dr. Taylor, you know, nobody wants to lose. And when you
right.
think that your party has lost, I have lost.
Right.
You take it personally.
Right. Well, it's like sports, right? You know, my favorite team is playing on the weekend and then they lose and I feel bad. I wasn't on the field playing, you know, so I don't even know anybody on the team. Why? But I feel bad. Mm-hmm. Why do I feel bad? Mm-hmm. Losing feels bad. Even if it's a loss of something you care about, it feels bad to lose. And that's true in elections. Tomorrow, half of our country is going to feel really good, and half of our country is going to feel bad. Half of our country is going to win, and half of them is going to feel like they've lost. And so there's going to be a lot of feelings at the end of the day tomorrow that I think are very powerful and for us to be mindful of, and maybe sensitive to also.
So that is the big thing. I think, you know, being sensitive, I'm glad you said that, because realizing that some people may be upset and you don't rub it in their face,
right.
you know, I won and you lost and now we're going
right.
to, you know, whatever it is,
right.
just to kind of be mindful that, you know, respect one another.
Yeah, you know, you're saying something that's so important, you know, taking ourselves out of our own experience and understanding what somebody else is feeling. Yeah, let's say my side wins tomorrow. Yay, I'm happy. Let's say your side doesn't and you don't feel so great about it. So, yeah, my being victorious in front of you can feel like gloating. And I think it's important for me to examine, am I really just gloating here? Mm-hmm. Or is this about being happy about something and then also being able to contain your sadness at the same time?
And I think, you know, as adults, we forget that that is a very adult thing that we should do, but we act
right,
right? Like children sometimes when it comes
right.
to this, right?
That's true, yeah. I mean, our fancy term for that in the psychoanalytic world is to say we regress. You know, it's a regression, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of thing we do when we don't feel good. You know, if I'm at home with a sore throat and a fever, I want my wife to bring me a bowl of soup. I mean, I'm fully capable of getting soup. I know how to put soup on the burner and heat it up.
Yeah.
But when I don't feel good, you know, I want somebody to feed me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a regression. So it's not that regression is a negative thing, but we all need to understand that it's something that we all experience and it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
When we lose, there's going to be a regression. We feel bad. That causes our emotional state to regress a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do act like children sometimes.
Absolutely. If you have a question for Dr. Taylor, would love for you to post it here on our our Facebook stream. Maybe you live in a house that's divided politically. Maybe you work with someone who's very outspoken and shares views that make you feel uncomfortable. You know, how do you address that? Are you worried about what the conversation is going to be like come Wednesday?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. So those are all legitimate concerns that folks may have.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, of course they are. And I think, too, you know, the our political ideology, just kind of like with our religious ideology, too, is part of how we frame ourselves. So it's not just about, you know, what's right, what's wrong, which side's good, which side's bad. It's about how we identify ourselves. And so our political views become a part of ourself. And so how we think politically, how we think in a religious way, is part of how we think of ourselves as people. And so that comes very tied into rightness and wrongness, and it makes dialogue very difficult. My political views are just that, they're views. And so if I can have a conversation with you or anybody and be open to your point of view as well, then there's the possibility of modifying my view because it's not me, it's just a view. Do you see the distinction? There's a little bit of a difference there. I think if it's just purely who I am, then it has to stay unshakable. And that makes dialogue risky because dialogue has the potential for changing me. And if that changes, then something about me is different. And I think that can be kind of a frightening thing for people to face or to deal with.
If you feel like the outcome of the election is not what you wanted and it is taking a huge mental toll on you, what do you do? Do you disconnect? Do you try to find another way to make our community better? What do you do?
Well, I like what you just said there at the end. You know, how can I make my community better? I do think the community is an important facet of politics. Well, what do they say? All politics is local. You know, and it's interesting. If I go to community forums and I listen to and watch people debate and talk about issues that relate to the community itself, it has a different feel to it to me than the national stage. The national stage feels like theater, and the local politics feels different. It doesn't seem so theatrical. It seems like we're really dealing with issues that matter to our community, and we're talking about ways to help with that. So I think, you know, thinking about community action and what you can do in your own community, I think it's an important way to deal with those things.
What if you have a reaction to something that you see, a sign, a article of clothing that just makes you so angry and you're just, you want to say something? What do you do?
Well, the hardest thing as a psychoanalyst that we do as psychoanalysts is allow ourselves to be containers. And what I mean by that is to hold on to feelings that aren't pleasant to hold on to. Very often we'll have patients come into our offices that have a very bad feeling about something. They're telling us something that's horrible or tragic, and we need to be able to contain that. We're going to feel that too. It's going to stir that feeling in us. And so I think, you know, as we think about the adult thing to do, one of the adult things we can do is to tolerate the negative feelings that we have, allow ourselves to be able to hold on to it and experience it without feeling like we have to dump it on something. That's where I think it becomes a problem.
How do you do that?
Well, that's the $1 million question. You know, and that's why people can be in therapy for years, because it takes a long time to get to where it's possible to tolerate feeling bad. Sigmund Freud had a famous expression about psychoanalysis. And on the surface of it, it sounds pretty negative. And I don't know if I've shared that here with you before or not. But the expression is this. Somebody asked Freud what the point of psychoanalysis is. And he said, the point of analysis is to convert neurotic misery into ordinary unhappiness. That doesn't sound like it's all that great. But if we think about it, neurotic misery feels really, really bad. That's a miserable feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, that is true pain. But ordinary unhappiness, that's not great, but I can still laugh at jokes, I can still feel joy, I can still feel pleasure with quote-unquote ordinary unhappiness. So I think what Freud is saying, at least this is the way I'm going to interpret it, I think what he's saying is, the feelings you're talking about can be very miserable. They can be horrible. But if we can work with them, work through them, and tolerate them, they will stop feeling that horrible. They may just feel like ordinary unhappiness instead of neurotic misery.
Okay. So overall, Dr. Taylor, you think tomorrow, this is not, I mean, we were talking about this, is politics something you have control over, you don't have control over? In a way, do you have control by exercising your right to vote, but you don't have control over the overall outcome? It's so like tug of war when it comes to, you know, what can happen.
Yeah, and I think what you're pointing to is a very adult way of seeing the world. You have some control because you can vote. That is control. And you don't have control because you're not voting for everybody in the United States. So you have it and you don't have it at the same time. You're in control and you're not in control at the same time. Both of those things are true.
And they can both happen.
And they can both happen. That's right. You can vote and your candidate can lose. So you have both control and not control at the same time in that experience. So, I mean, I think both things are true. We have a tendency in our minds to fragment those feelings as if it's all one way or the other. I'm either completely in control and I'm totally the winner, or I'm just a loser and everything's out of control. We have a tendency to fragment things that way. And I think that what happens in, you know, conspiracy theories are all over the place now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons why conspiracy theories are so popular is because they play on that fragmentation. They take one side of that and make that everything.
Mm-hmm.
The story's controlled. It has an ending, it has a beginning. You understand all the dynamics of it, you know how it works. There's complete control in that. There's no sense of out of control in a conspiracy theory. It's perfectly mapped out and we understand all of it. Mm-hmm. It makes us the master of the story, as opposed to being in a story that has elements that we have some control over and it has elements that we have no control over, which is the way reality actually works. It's integrated. It's both of those things.
Mm-hmm. So, you can make a difference by voting, but again, you can't control what the outcome will be.
Right.
But if it is a day where the outcome wasn't what you wanted, maybe the best thing is to try to make a positive change, take that energy. Don't diminish what you're feeling, but find a way to channel it in a positive direction.
Right.
Maybe go out and do something good for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, be more active in your community. You know, become an activist in your community in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, there are ways that we can empower ourselves. I think there is a tendency to sort of fall into this kind of feeling of hopelessness and helplessness and powerlessness, and that we can sort of become overwhelmed by it, that's all we feel. But there's a lot we can do.
Mm-hmm.
There are many things that we can do to empower ourselves. And it can be simple things, too.
And be mindful of that. Some people may be hurting the next day.
Exactly.
And be respectful of that.
Right.
You know, don't put salt on the wound for somebody, because it'll be a tough day for some folks.
For sure. I mean, in maybe a completely unrelated sense, but an example that comes to my mind. There was a TV show that came on one of the streaming channels about a young woman who was in an abusive relationship, and she becomes a maid, and she eventually leaves the relationship and ends up in a women's shelter.
I know what you're talking about.
The show.
Yeah.
And so there's this one scene that I think is just beautiful on a lot of levels.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have any, she's just left with nothing. She's just got the clothes on her back. So they take her into this room that they've set up like a little shop. And so they've got tags on the clothes. They've got the clothes hanging in categories, just like in a store. They've got a cash register. The whole thing is set up like a little store. And the idea is she picks things that she wants, and she's standing in there initially and doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's as if she's lost her power to think about what she wants.
Yeah.
But the store is kind of set up to help her learn that again,
mm-hmm.
you know, to empower herself again and be able to take control of that. And I think that there is a tendency we do that to ourselves in the political world, that we can disempower ourselves when we feel like we're losing, or the other side's going to beat us, or that we've got nothing, you know, there's nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we kind of do that to ourselves.
I like that. I'm glad you brought that, because I can identify with that, because you do wake up the next day and think, now what?
Yeah, like I'm.
Where do you start again?
Right. I think that's right. And so I think if we could just keep in our mind that we can do something, mm-hmm. do something. It doesn't have to be everything, but stay active and keep moving. That's mm-hmm. so important.
At what point do you realize, okay, this has consumed me in a negative way. All I'm doing is reading articles and sharing things may or may not be true, and I'm fighting with people. Like, at what point do you think, okay, I need to stop?
Well, you know,
right. We all know somebody like that.
That's true.
Well, maybe it's us.
Right. Well, you know, as a psychotherapist and a psychoanalyst, one of the things that we hold on to firmly in our own community is we always have each other for supervision. Mm-hmm. So we're always seeking out somebody else's view on what we're doing. So if we're working with a patient that's very hard for us to work with, or we don't understand what's going on, or we feel lost, or we're angry or frustrated in the work, we've got a supervisor we can call on a colleague and talk through what we're doing to get an outside perspective on it that gives us some clarity about the work we're doing. And I think we can take that into this conversation too. Mm-hmm. You know, wake up in despair because we've lost. You've got friends, you've got colleagues, there are people you can talk to, there are people you can reach out to help you kind of work through what you've been working on. You've got a therapist to see, then talk to your therapist. Mm-hmm. But there are ways we can kind of get out of our own head and see the experience from outside. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a little bit of clarity. That's very helpful for us.
You often hear, politicians or people say, we have to come together at the end of the day, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You know, we have to put our differences aside and figure out how to make our world better. Better for the time we are here and for our future.
Right. And there's so much importance that, you know, we've been talking about what it feels like to be on the losing side and how miserable that feels. And it is miserable and it feels terrible. And to try to empower yourself to get moving again, to be on the victor side, you know, part of it is to be able to reach out to the people that are hurting and to be able to work with them. Mm-hmm. Come up with common ground. How are we going to work together? Mm-hmm. You won, so now what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to work together? Mm-hmm. And so I think being able to reach across that boundary is important too.
Yeah, listening to other people, even though they may be different from you, there's so much benefit to that. And just showing compassion for one another goes such a long way.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with the division that we've been experiencing in our nation right now, which has been fanned by a lot of things, the pandemic has been a fan for that because we've been so isolated. Social media is a bit of a fan for that because we can really do a lot of selective listening and finding groups that only see and think in our particular way, mm-hmm. so that we don't get challenged or stretched beyond what we normally think about. Those things are all factors in this division. They're not the sole cause of it, but they're pieces of it. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying is one of the things that we really could be focusing on. Let's try to reach across those boundaries and find some common ground.
Yeah. All right.
Whether we win or whether we lose.
Absolutely. Dr. Taylor, anything I didn't ask you that you feel like folks would benefit from?
Well, I think, again, just kind of keeping in mind how important it is to not be isolated. Don't isolate yourself. With all of the feelings that we will be carrying at the end of the day tomorrow, to reach across those divides and try to find common ground, I think, is going to be the way we make this work.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us here on Wave Now's We Should Talk About It. I'm Myra Ansari with Dr. Stephen Taylor from U of L Health Peace Hospital. Have a wonderful day.